He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this heavenly way, for the Comforter abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason for my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this stair away, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul. Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me.
Aren't you glad He abides with you tonight? We've got several prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Rob Weber, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these. Brother Frank Williams is sick tonight with a cough. This is squealing a lot, this monitor right here. Brother Frank Williams sick with a cough, on antibiotics. Ask that we remember him in prayer. Also, Brother Jerry Glenn would like for us to remember his son-in-law, kidney stones. Also, their sister-in-law has gout in her foot. Ask for prayer for them. Also, if we could remember Ed Yontz tonight in prayer. He's in the hospital. I think they've kind of just started comfort measures with him. So family, his wife is exhausted. And, everybody that's had that kind of experience knows what that's like. So let's remember her. She's just a faithful servant really to Him for years and through this time. Let's ask God to give her strength and be with Ed for sure. Please pray for Becky Lynch. Took her to the doctor yesterday. They sent us to the ER because her blood pressure was so low. Also, her thyroid levels have went extremely high again after several tests. Still not sure why. That's from Brother Melvin Lynch. Please pray for Jason and Zoe Roncalli. They're both sick. Sister Jones turns that in tonight. Please pray for our Christian brothers and sisters in China. They've made it against the law to purchase a Bible. They also shut down a Christian school this week. So let's remember those saints there. Request prayer for my Aunt Mary Bowman in the hospital, not expected to live. That's from Brother Skip Walker. Let's remember her and that family. Please pray there's a mix-up concerning Brother Eugene Kennedy's check and insurance issues. We need this problem fixed as soon as possible. They said it could take up to 90 days. Please pray it won't be that long. So let's just ask the Lord to put His hand on that situation. Sister Janet Payne asked that we remember her little nephew, Darren, in Oklahoma. the one that had the car wreck. He has to have a diaphragm pacemaker put in to help him breathe. Let's remember that. Continue to pray for Sister Baker. She's been released by the hospital, but very weak, in need of prayer. Please pray for Kaylor Willis. She's having a lot of sickness. Also for Randy Lambert from Kingsport, has several needs in his body, and ask for our prayer. So let's just stand tonight. Brother Rob comes, just take these needs to the Lord tonight.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, once again we come before you in prayer. We bow our heads in humility, Lord, as we come before you. You reveal yourself in simplicity, Lord, and we're so thankful for it that we can come to you in prayer. Lord, give us of a servant's heart. Let us be more like you. Let us come and serve our brothers and sisters in all these ways, Lord, in the ways of prayer, in the ways of thanksgiving, in the ways of a tender heart, picking each other up, encouraging each other upon the way. Lord Jesus, I just have in my heart to ask you to help us have a servant's heart. Give us what we have need of in this service, Lord. These are serious needs that were spoken here, Lord, so more serious and dear to the people, Lord, that have written them down. I pray, Lord God, help us to be sincere. Help us to enter into the burdens of our brothers and sisters. Give us strength, Lord, in the day that we can stand, Lord, and touch the throne of heaven, touch the throne of grace, Lord, as Esther came before the king, Lord. Reach out the scepter that we can make contact. I pray, Lord God, and I thank you, Lord, for the service that's about to go forth. I thank you for your word that will manifest itself so many ways. Let it never become something that we are accustomed to, but be thankful every time we come into these doors. I pray, Lord God, let nothing distract us. That monitor that was squealing, Lord God, let nothing keep us from getting what we have need of from God. There is no distraction, Lord, that's worthy to take our attention away from you. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your grace to us. I pray, Lord God, pick us up along the way. Help these prayer requests be manifested, that the joys of heaven would come forth in your power and in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Keep on the firing line. The many dangers that we all must face. If we die fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service will find no place. Keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown and bear the cross you must, keep on the firing line. Life is but to labor for the master day. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer. You'll be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. Get to heaven, brother, we'll be glad. Keep on the firing line. I will praise the Savior for the call we have. Keep on the firing line. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the paths of sin, with the
shout of welcome. We will all march in, so keep on the firing line. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line. Let's sing that chorus again. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, just keep on the firing line.
Amen. If the brothers would like to come tonight, let's F again. You thought I was worth saving. Let's sing this together tonight. You thought I was worth saving. If the words are up there on that chorus, there's a lot of you and then he and then you, then he. Let's make that all you so I don't go a who. Okay? You thought I was worth saving. Let's sing that to him tonight, okay? You thought I was worth saving, so you changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving. Let's raise our hands to him tonight. 'Cause you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving.
Sarah Yance, come sing for us.
It was such a lovely day. The sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud in sight. Then suddenly, without warning, storm surrounded my life. But even can feel the calm, and here's the reason why. I know the Peacemaker. Yes, I know him by another man with the power of this friend. By simply saying, "Peace be still," he can calm the strongest wind. That's why when storm clouds come my way, I know that he is near, and he'll drive away my fears, and I can smile and say that I know the Peacemaker. I know him by name. I know the Peacemaker. He controls the wind and the waves. When he says, "Peace, be still," they have to obey. I'm glad I know the Peacemaker. Yes, I know him by name. And he speaks peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever.
Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand, if you will. Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring the word to us tonight. I'd like to welcome some visitors we have. Brother Hildebrand, is it from Alberta? Is that right? Saskatchewan. And Brother George Smith with us tonight, and the guests with them. Nice to have you in the service with us tonight. Brother Harry is going to sing this, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, as Brother Donnie comes." And let's just sing that to him tonight. The word's going to come forth. If we're ready to receive, we'll leave here better than we came. Let's open the eyes of our heart tonight and just have what the Lord has for us tonight. Sing that with Brother Harry. So Brother
open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Love the statement that Brother Branham makes when he talks about seeing the Father. He said, when you see the Word manifested or made clear, you see the Father God. That's more than just reading the Bible now. It's more than just reading a quote. It's more than just coming to church and listening to a preacher. When you can see the Word made manifest, that is Him. Amen. Let's turn tonight, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. I want to speak to you again tonight on the church. I'm glad we're part of it, aren't you? Amen. Glad to have Brother George Smith with us tonight, Brother Kelly Hildebrand, his wife, Brother Kelly's brother and his wife from cold Canada. It's about minus 30 up there, so they think this is a heat wave. Let's give them a nice hand. Glad to have them with us tonight, with us in the service. Amen. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. We'll read through verses 30. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he who, God, has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. As I mentioned to you last Wednesday, this is one of these things that you know, but you really wish you did know it. You really wish you didn't have to know it. But in reality, you know that it will. It's inevitable. In verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. How many would like to be remembered before the Lord tonight in prayer? Let's just hold our needs and our requests before the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, Lord Jesus, it's with a grateful heart that we stand, Lord, in this place once again. We're grateful, Lord, for the truth of the gospel. We're grateful for your blood, your mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being the only holy potentate, the almighty God. No one else who could be able to redeem us and bring us back into this proper state of fellowship. We love you so much for that tonight, Father. Lord, as we approach your word once again, we ask that you would help us. Anybody that's physically able would be able to read what I just read, but it'll take you to be able to quicken the word to make it alive to our hearts. We desire, Lord, that this would not just be an intellectual gathering. Lord, that's just something that we do on Wednesday night. But make it supernatural. Make it something that when we leave this place, we'll know we've been in your presence. Lord, I hold in my hand this prayer cloth for Sister Janet's nephew, Lord, that was in this accident facing surgery. We're asking you, dear God, tonight for your mercy, that you'd just be mindful of this little lad, Father. Lord, we pray also for Brother Ed Yance laying down in the hospital, Lord. Dear God, unless you move in a supernatural way, Father, he won't be with us much longer at all. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that your will would just be done. We know when it comes our time to cross over, there's not enough medication, there's not enough things that doctors can do to keep us here. Lord, I pray that you'd just bless our brother. May you just help him, make it an easy cross even for him. May you comfort his family, we pray, during this time. So help me that I can get out of the way tonight, Father. For it's in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask it. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. If the church is such a precious thing in the eyes of the Lord Jesus, something that he loved so very much that he would give his own blood for, that he would be willing to become not only sin, but a sinner. And actually a serpent on a pole. Once Satan looked back to see what the Lord Jesus had paid such a price for this, which he had called the church, it's inevitable. Satan is going to hate this entity with all that's in him. If something like this, that God would love so much, this type of price would be paid, it would declare to the regions not only of heaven, but the regions of Satan and his demons, the value of this church was so great that God had been working on this plan for thousands and thousands of years. Satan purposed, he hated it with everything that was in him. Initially, as the church first started out, you can see Satan as he's watching the church. He doesn't know exactly the direction that the church is going to go. After Pentecost, and he sees that they receive inevitably a power that they had never had before, just under the teaching of the Lord Jesus. Something happened on that day of Pentecost that turned them upside down. And they in turn turned hell upside down. And Satan began to watch and see what was going on. And it must have alarmed him to no end. It must have reverberated down in hell when they begin to see the very works that the Lord Jesus Himself did was being done by men that were born in sin. Men that actually that were born liars. They were born deceived. They were born seemingly without a hope. And yet these men, by a supernatural change of the power of God, were doing the very works God Himself had done in Jesus Christ. Oh, it must have set hell back. And they would have to gather together and talk about what was going on. And they was coming down, them demons, as they'd visit over in Antioch, and they'd visit in Samaria, and they'd visit in Syria and Damascus, and they was going back and forth and back and forth. And my, it was the headlines down in hell. Oh, you can't believe, you know, they're doing this over there, and they're doing this over there. And what in the world has happened? We thought when we got the Lord Jesus, this was the end of it. I'm afraid we've made a terrible mistake. Amen. Except this corn of wheat died, would buy it alone. But now they realize it was here in multiplied form. Well, if this church then was going to be the very pregnation of the Spirit of God, and it was going to be baptized by a power which they apparently recognized was deity itself, they must change the way they will come against this church. They will have mannerisms, and they will have traits, and they will have things that was very similar to what they used against Israel in the Old Testament. But there will be changes that will have to be made. Certain principles all human beings are subject to, whether they're Old Testament or New. Certain things about humanity, it doesn't change. But there was things they knew they must do differently. As they began to set out and the onslaught began to come against the church, you can see initially as it rises against them and they start a persecution. Instead of the persecution stopping the church and making the church hold their peace and be quiet, they only multiply. I mean, here they're gathering back down in hell again thinking, what are we going to do? This normally would work against a people that if you threaten their lives, they just hush. But these people love this truth more than they love their own life. These people are willing to be beat for this cause. They are willing to be ridiculed and criticized. They are willing to do everything. What are we going to do? But Satan began to watch, and he began to get his demons together. And they began to put together a plan that would begin to affect this church. Paul, by now, when Luke writes this in Luke 20, it's about 28 years after the church has been birthed now at Pentecost. So they've been through many, many battles. They went through martyrdom. They went through persecution. They went through so many things. But Satan has now found inroads to the church. Now, initially, Satan did not have false apostles. He did not have many of the things that God had in the church because they were new. Now, Satan already had false prophets because he had them in the Old Testament. But Satan never had false apostles in the Old Testament. Why? God didn't have any. And remember, he's never the originator. That's right. He's always the impersonator. So when God started calling apostles, it took Satan a little while to catch their focus and their purpose. And he saw now that God, when he set up this thing called the church, that God was changing the order of the way this new entity would work on the earth. In the Old Testament, they would gather the men folk of the Old Testament. They would gather at the tabernacle, and they would gather three times a year. And that was a great, holy, sacred times. Other than that, they would go to a synagogue, or they would go to someplace out. They didn't go to church regularly. There was no church. But they would come to the house of God for the Feast of Tabernacles. They would come for the Paschal Lamb. And other than that, they would stay home and they would do their own duties of where they lived. And now we find something to where that the church is something that doesn't gather three times a year, but they're coming over and over. And this is one of the things about the New Testament church, that they started gathering regularly. Folks that's got the Holy Ghost still do the same thing today. You know, it was very odd. Now, to us, it's not unusual at all for us to go to church, you know, 2-3 times a week. But can you imagine what a change it was for those people as they started coming to church and they sharing preaching and singing and worshiping and the sick were being prayed for, and they would gather initially. They started gathering on the Lord's Day and they started doing it repeatedly over and over and over again, week by week by week. And this was totally new. It was something that was altogether different. And Satan also noticed that it seemed to be the direction of God that there was men that was set over the church called shepherds. Now, he knew what Jeremiah had said, that he would get men that would be called shepherds. But remember, that scripture in Jeremiah has a compound meaning. It was for that day as well. But generally, the shepherd in the Old Testament was not so much a pastor that would come and preach to the flock, but many times a shepherd would actually be a king or a ruler. Remember Cyrus, when God spoke about him 130 years, what it was before his birth, that God had Isaiah to call him the shepherd, that he would gather the people of God. Yet this man was not a preacher, and yet you look at his history and realize that he was taken in by people and they were raised and they were actually shepherds, and the symbol of their family was a shepherd's crook. So there was prophetic that God set this about him. But many times the kings or the potentates or the men in judicial authority, they were actually the shepherds of the Old Testament. So the shepherd of the New Testament was something totally different. He was not a man that was politically ordered. He was not a man that was concerned about being, you know, be able to get the rich and the famous and all this and that. But he was concerned about feeding the flock of God. So there was rich and poor, the everybodies, the nobodies, the anybodies. It was all of that. And Satan began to watch as God orchestrated this new body. And he looked and he beheld, and it seemed to him now that in this there was a flock here and there's one there and there's one there. And they begin to call these flocks churches. And they begin to call them, of course, the word ecclesia, which is a called out group of people that have left their homes and gather in a public meeting place. They still do the same thing today. Now, doing that, Satan is now learning as he's going. You understand what I'm saying? And every move of God after this, Satan has learned. You know, it took Satan, no doubt, a pretty good while to be able to catch on to the Reformation of Luther, Reformation of Wesley, pouring out of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost. He's still learning, believe it or not, trying to figure out what in the world is going on in this message. Because there's things being preached that poor old guy ain't never heard in his life that was brought in this end time. We live in a blessed time, don't we? Now, we know then that Satan would have to watch and see what God was doing. So he noticed then that God would call a flock together and they would have a man there that was led of the Spirit of God, and the saints of God would sit under the ministry of that man, and he would be identified as a shepherd or a pastor. But he also noted that there was a great man, especially in the first age, and his name was Paul. Now, he was different from Peter, different from James, different from Matthew. He was a man that was elevated above his brethren in the sense of revelation and position, but he did not make himself this. He did not choose to become this, but God had chosen him. So Satan noticed that this man, he was the one that received the abundance of the revelation for the time. And then he would write the letters, and these other churches would get the letters, and they'd share the letter from Laodicea. And then the Laodiceans would share the letter from Thessalonica. And then the saints at Ephesus, they would share their letters. So this one man, this prophet of God, he was the one that received the word. Then these pastors would get these letters or these books, and they would go to reading these books, and you imagine how odd that it seemed when they'd get up in the pulpit and they'd go to reading quotes from Paul. Well, hallelujah. Men of God still do the same thing today. That's right. Now, they would stand up in the pulpit, Brother Darrell, then they would begin to preach, and they would take the types of the Old Testament, and they'd begin to tie it all together, because now after the baptism of the Holy Ghost come, they begin to look back, and it made everything so clear. And Satan began to watch, okay, so there's pastors, and then there's associates in the church, and then I can see that the prophet of the New Testament, he's a little different now. He don't just go back and stay back in a cave and stay away from everybody, but he goes out and preaches, and he's out here bringing the word, and he's fellowshipping with the saints, and my, he's just out there, so he's kind of traveling around bringing the word. And then here's these other guys, and they're called apostles, and they're missionaries, so they're going out, and they're going here and there and there. And then I see there's another aspect that God's put in the body, and that's called teachers, and Satan's really learning as he goes. So as he's learning, he's also devising his strategy by which he can be able to try to come into this thing that God called the church in order to try to defeat it. Now, he knows that from within is always a powerful source. But he also knows that you must also use everything at your disposal. So he will use those that are from within. He will also use some that are from without. And the merging of both again together, according to the cycle that the church goes through, he's going to do everything he can to try to stop the church. Now, if Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Remember, the devil was right there when the Lord Jesus said that. Now, can you imagine that he took this as a personal charge against him? A personal vendetta of the Lord Jesus. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. When Satan heard that, it was his total determinate desire to say, if you say that, I'll prove you wrong, Lord Jesus. If that's what you say and that's what you believe, I will make it every day of my life. I'll come against that church. I'll hate that church. I'll despise that church. And then I'll also impersonate that church. I'll get right among that church, and I'll even start me one, and I'll call it the church. And I'll have them preaching too. You've got pastors, I'll have false ones. You've got true apostles, I'll have false ones. You've got true prophets, I'll have false ones. You've got people writing gospel songs, I'll have people writing gospel songs. And both of them will be called the church, and it'll only bring more confusion to the people, because they won't know what to believe. And all of that didn't change one thing. He tried to burn it. He tried to destroy it. He tried to kill them. He tried everything he could do. They got stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, notice this. As he started infiltrating the church had to start learning how to fight as well, because the battlefront now changed. Initially, when the Lord Jesus was here, you ever notice in reading the Gospels, the disciples themselves hardly suffered any persecution at all? All the name calling, all the radical stuff, who is it against? The Lord Jesus. They never singled Peter out and called him this and that and the other until the focus of God changed. Once the focus of God changed from the body of the Lord Jesus, then the apostles now become the target of the enemy. Well, praise the Lord. Well, you say, Brother Donnie, I'm fighting so much, you ought to shout, my goodness, till you ain't hardly got strength enough to shout no more. It means the devil considers you a target for the end time. My goodness, friends, you realize as long as we are a part of the body of the Lord Jesus that we're going to face difficulties and troubles? Absolutely. But it's one of the best signs that the devil hasn't got you when he's fighting you. He's not fighting those that he's already got. They're his. Praise the Lord. Now, as the Spirit of God begins to move among them, then Satan starts bringing people in. As Paul said, that there will be some that will come from among your own selves. They will be raised under the auspices of the community of the church. They will be identified as believers. They will sit in the church. They will have some of the same cliches, some of the same words. They'll even look like them to a degree. Until the devil can shoot them full of deadly poison. And then, of course, they'll run through the church with it. Now, notice this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and thou that cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now, by the time John writes the book of Revelation, which is 96 AD, by this time now, 60 years has passed, and the church has had all these trials and tests and things that are going on. By now, Satan has learned how to be able to impersonate the church to the dot. As far as emotions, sensations, feelings, so on and so on. They could talk about the cross. They could talk about the blood. They could talk about mercy. They could mimic the church. Oh, listen to me now. That white horse rider that started riding, it was already riding in the form of Antichrist. But remember, Antichrist is not one that maybe has .0001% truth of the word. No, no. The Antichrist may have 99.99% of the truth. But all it takes is that one little additive to make it wrong. By now, he had already perfected, if we can say it this way, his understanding of how the church moved. He watched the repetition of the Holy Ghost, how the Holy Ghost now was picking out a flock, sent an apostle out, the apostle would go, start a new work. The apostle, of course, not being a pastor, so he would stay there, maybe establish the work until a pastor would raise up there somewhere. And then they would leave a pastor there, and the apostle would go somewhere else. He would start another work, then out of there would raise another one, or they'd send a pastor there. And it was continuously growing and growing and going. And Satan recognized this, so this is now the pattern of God. So the apostle would go forth, start the work. A pastor would come in. What would Satan do? He'd follow that circuit rider. He'd come right around. The Judaizers done the same thing with the law of circumcision. Is this right? They come right in behind where Paul and them went and trying to get them to be circumcised. It's the same thing going on exactly to this day. Now, Satan recognized that this is God's plan. So then he started bringing in false apostles, false pastors, false teachers, false prophets, false evangelists, false workers, all kinds of things. For everything that God had in the original church, Satan began to impersonate and put out a false one that he could put right in among them. And if both of them are standing there and saying, I'm a true pastor, and they're both saying opposites. So this man says, I'm a true pastor, and this man's wrong. And that man says, no, this man is wrong. I'm the true pastor. And you're sitting there as sheep. So which one are you going to believe? So here comes an apostle through. He preaches the word. What you believe is the word, the gospel of Christ. You're living back 35, 40 AD, 60 AD. You don't know. We're just living here in Johnson City. We've never heard nothing about Jesus on the cross. So an apostle comes in. He goes to tell us, God, come down in the form of a man. And he come that we might be totally set free from our sins. And we've come to find out this man is an apostle. We don't know what apostle was. But we heard this man was an apostle. Well, he comes and he goes on, and then in 6 months later, a year, here comes another man who claims to be an apostle, but he says he believes in the cross. He said he believes in the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus, but he says you got to be circumcised too, or you can't get the Holy Ghost. So here we are, we're thinking, so this guy said he was an apostle, and he said the blood of Jesus liberated us from circumcision, and this man says he's an apostle, but he says we got to be circumcised. So what are we going to do? Now remember, they didn't have a tablet. They didn't have a computer. As a matter of fact, most of the early Christians, by the time this was written, didn't even have a Bible. Book of James, supposing one of the first books that was written, 54, 55 AD. So all this span of time from 33, 34 AD, up to about 50, 54, they didn't even have a written New Testament. What did they have? The word that was handed from one to another. My grandpa said that John told him, and my uncle said that Luke told him such and such and so and so. Now you imagine though, there's one thing they did have, and that was the new birth. Well, praise God. We put so much emphasis on what we got up here, but I wonder how much emphasis we put on what we got right here. That's exactly right. Satan can deceive you with a head full of quotes, but he can't deceive you with a heart full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So here they were now having to deal with two by the same claim. Two different kinds of men claiming to be pastors, apostles, and prophets, and so on. And yet, inevitably, they were coming up saying things that were exact opposite. So what do we do? How do we try these guys? How do we know? Now, we're sheep. We want to go to heaven, do we not? We want to go to heaven. We're not in this because we're trying to go to hell. We're trying to escape hell. And yet, one man says one thing, and another man says the exact opposite. So which way are we going to do? Well, God already had a prophet in the land. And that prophet was Paul. Now he had James, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By this time, many of them were starting to put together the writings and all of that. But yet it was still by word of mouth. It was not really that accurate. So you can imagine you would tell so-and-so and they'd tell so-and-so that he read, you know, way back there in Thessalonica when he was there. This letter supposedly come from Paul. And he read a few things and memorized a few quotes and he shared it everywhere he'd go. Friends, we don't appreciate the Word of God. We don't appreciate our Bibles like we ought to. We don't appreciate all these tapes like we ought to. Oh my, we should be thankful, don't you think so? Now see, but how was it they would try them? Well, from the bits and pieces of the word that they had heard. And they said, now wait a minute. This is not right. Paul taught that we were set free and that circumcision was for the Jews. And these people are coming in and telling us we got to be circumcised. And then here come these guys behind them saying the resurrection's past. Oh my. So notice this. Ephesians Church Age and the Church Age book, page 111. The Bible says, try a man. If there be any among you who's spiritual or a prophet, or says he is, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him. I'll speak to him in visions and in dreams. And if what he says comes to pass, then hear him. Don't be afraid of him, because that I am with him. But if it doesn't come to pass, then don't hear him. He hasn't got my word. Now, the time had come to where these saints, it wasn't just the preachers now that needed to try them, because wolves aren't just after clergy. Wolves are after sheep. How often has it been down through history that wolves attack the shepherd? Not saying the shepherd is attacked free now. But what did they mainly focus on? Sheep. Because wolves are very smart. One of the smartest of God's creation. Wolves are. And they know the weak. They know the vulnerable. And they see a shepherd standing out there armed and ready. They know. They watch that man. They know. And they are not going to come against him. They're going to sneak around at night. They're going to sneak around when his back is turned, because they know the sheep are more vulnerable. Then if that be so, God didn't give you a pastor to keep you from being deceived. God gave you the Holy Ghost to keep you from being deceived. I'm your shepherd. I'm here to feed you. But I cannot keep you, friends. I cannot keep your soul. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. We thank God for pastors and prophets and all that. But every individual needs to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Notice then, these individuals, they had started coming among the church and they were saying, hey, we're apostles too. We're apostles. And we were back there. Well, we walked right there with Jesus too. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I sat right down at the end of the table on the right hand side. I was number 35 right down on his right. I was right there when James and John was there. Oh, I'm not a big name preacher the way they are, but I was right there with them. I went up on the day of Pentecost. I didn't go up to the upper room and get the Holy Ghost, but I was on the outside and I felt real good. We ain't talking about feeling good. We're talking about being born again. I'll tell you one thing. My grandpa was right there when the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. My grandpa told me chills run all over him. I'll tell you what, I've seen a bunch of things too now. It ain't just Paul and just Peter and John. I'm a preacher too. I got something to say. So the saints said, fine. You've got something to say? Say it. But let us just let you know, we are going to judge you. And we are going to try you, what you say. And we're going to try you by what the Word says. Praise God. Amen. Notice this. Try a man. You mean God don't get angry if we do that? God gets more angry if we don't. I don't care who it is. I don't care what his name is, how long he's been preaching. Notice this. Now, if a man raises up and he claims to be a prophet, which they had plenty of them that was doing it, or apostles, then they are supposed to do what? They're supposed to try that man and see if what he says lines up with what has already been said. It makes no difference how many people he can raise from the dead, how many folks are healed in his prayer line. If he says something contrary to the Word, he's false. Amen. Notice now, they found out these fellows wasn't carrying on according to the Bible. And they're trying to get something else. Thou hast tried them to say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. My, that is a blunt statement. Thou hast tried them who call themselves apostles. Isn't that presumptuous? What right has a people? Notice now, this is not the preachers. This is the people of God. What right has a people to try those who call themselves apostles? Because it looked like that any man who would claim to be an apostle is above regular church folks. But isn't this amazing? Regular church folks, regular sheepies, when they heard these apostles preaching, and they went right up to them and tried them by the Word, and they said, you're not saying what Paul said, so you're a liar. Now, this man claimed to be an apostle, but did not make him better. No, because that's all it was. He was claiming to be. That's right. He was claiming to be. Notice this. He says, what right does a people have to try those who call themselves apostles? How do they try them? Oh, I love this. He said, here it is, Galatians 1:8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have already preached unto you, let him be accursed. It was the apostles who brought the original Word to the people. That original Word could not change. Not even a dot or a dash. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Brother Branham did not come to take away our Bibles. He came to make our Bibles more clear. More understandable. He did not come with a new William Branham version of the Bible. We didn't need a new version. We needed eyes to be able to understand it. Amen. Paul knew. Now listen to this. Did you notice how that Paul included himself there in Galatians 1:8? But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. Now Paul knew the original revelation from God to him was unchangeable. So Paul told them, look, if I come back later, if I come back years later and I preach something contrary to what I have already preached by revelation, don't you even hear me. Oh my. The original Word could not change, not even a dot or a dash of it. Paul knew it was God who had spoken to him. So he said, even if I come and try to give you a second revelation, try to make one little change in what I gave originally, let me be accursed. Now what about people who want to hang around the prophet and say, well, he ordained me, and does God change his mind about his Word? I was preacher number 87. But God showed me that Brother Branham was wrong. You're a liar. You're a false prophet. You're a false pastor. You're a false apostle. Hey, I ain't going to apologize for saying it. Why? I'm trying them by the Word. Come on, saints. Notice this. Oh, my. You see, Paul knew that the first revelation was correct. God can't give a first revelation, then a second revelation. If he did, he would be changing his mind. I love the way he puts this together. He can give a revelation and then add to it. But remember, the adding that God adds to the revelation does not change the original revelation. So if God comes and straightens out the Godhead under the ministry of Malachi 4, then God can't come with a new revelation and let us know there's actually two lords up there and sit on one. And add to what the prophet straightened out, oh my goodness, don't get quiet on me, church. God can't come and send a prophet messenger and tell us the seven church ages and then send somebody else after him and said, uh-oh, I made a mistake, there's actually eight. There ain't no Malachi 4, 5 and a half. There ain't no Malachi 4, 5 and 3 quarters. Praise be to God. God cannot send a revelation and then send somebody else who is a Joshua or a Caleb or whoever he wants to be and take away from that original word. Well, praise the Lord. I know, friends, I know we don't like to hear these things. To be honest with you, I don't like preaching them either. But it's part of the gospel. I imagine Paul would have rather wrote about other things. I imagine Luke would have rather wrote about them. Paul would have rather preached about other things. But I'm so glad he preached about them. Aren't you? I'm so glad the prophet of God allowed this to be put in the church age book. He can give a revelation then add to it as he did in the Garden of Eden. What he promised the seed to the woman. Now watch, it's a cumulative revelation. So God will unfold whatever's revelation. Now you notice this in the prophet's message in 1947 to 1965. Whatever is revelation that was given to that prophet, whether it was 33 or 35 or 47 or 65, whatever was revelation that come from God, it only become greater and greater and greater. It's the same way with you and I. But a lot of what we started out believing wasn't revelation, no how, was tradition. That's right. But God cannot give a revelation and then come and say, I made a mistake on that. I should have thought that through. Man, I can't believe I've done that. I should have thought that through. That's not exactly right. So, for the preachers around the message who feel like God sent them to straighten out Brother Branham, liars. Amen. Liars. I ain't got time for myself. Shame on you if you even give them 5 minutes of your time. Go to their website and listen to all that trash. I mean, they got that kind of reputation. Don't feed on that junk. Oh my, notice, as he did in the Garden of Eden when he promised the seed to the woman, later designated that seed had to come through Abraham. What was it? An accumulative revelation. So God gives it in Genesis 3:16, but it makes it very, very vague, and he doesn't really say what all it is. And then he keeps adding to it. Genesis 49:10, Deuteronomy 18:15, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, Isaiah 35:3, you know, Zechariah 6:12. All these things keep adding, and the picture gets more full. But not on one of those revelations. Not on one of those revelations of Jeremiah or Zechariah or Haggai 2:7. None of them could ever go back and contradict what God said in Genesis 3:15. It was building more and more and more to the image of God. Oh my. Notice, and then later he said it would come by the same bloodline in David. But it was the same revelation. I love the way he says this. It only gave the people more information to help them receive and understand it. Don't you understand what preaching's doing for us now? We don't need another prophet. We don't need somebody to come and tell us, well, actually, Brother Branham said thus and so and thus and so. But really, he meant, oh, you're the mentor. You're the mentor, huh? You're sent of God to tell us what he meant. Oh, my. Lord have mercy. You know why things like that go over? Because there's an element of people in the message who believe it. It's based on supply and demand. If there was no demand for it in our ranks, there'd be no supply from the devil. It's based upon supply and demand. But there's no demand in my heart. What about you? There's no demand. I'm not looking for a mentor to come around and say, he meant this and he meant that and he didn't mean this and he didn't mean that. And actually he said there's one coming. He was talking about me and he was pointing to me. I ain't got time for such nonsense myself. Contrary, why? Contrary to what the original's already said. Notice, it was the same revelation, only gave the people more information to help them receive and understand it. But God's word can't change. The seed came exactly as revealed, hallelujah. And you see what those false prophets were doing? They came with their own word. But listen, friends, what makes it so deceiving is every word they say isn't their own word. Every word the serpent said wasn't his words. It was his words mixed with God's words. And then it produced these thoughts to Eve. False prophets, oh, I said, I believe, I'm this, I'm that. No, they build a platform. Brother Branham said, the Bible said, Brother Branham said, my, and then they step on it, and here I am. I'm the one you're waiting for. I'm greatly disappointed then. Oh my. You mean to tell me God would take a greater to introduce somebody like you? God would take a man like we have seen in this day and introduce some of these kingdom builders that have got nothing in mind but money or a following after themselves. It makes no sense to me. Notice this. They came with their own word. Those Ephesians, now notice this, knew that word as Paul had taught it. They were full. I love this part, Brother Darrell. Not just in knowing it, but they were full of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of Paul's hands. Praise God. They looked those false apostles in the eye. They didn't FaceTime them. They didn't text them. They didn't WhatsApp them. Glory to God. They walked right up to them and said, "You, sir, are a liar." Give us some more people like that today. My, my. They looked those false apostles in the eye and said, "You are not saying what Paul said. You are therefore false." Oh, he said, "Oh, that sets my heart on fire. Get back to the word. It is not you that really tries the apostle and prophet and teacher. It is the word that tries him." So if they say the days of miracles is past, let the word try him. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then it's not you trying the man, it's not you. Well, you know what? There's going to be a white horse rider and he's going to turn and ride from the West Indies. Oh, really? Well, I have a problem with that. Brother Bram never used the word Indies. He just said West. All it takes is one word. Come on. Oh, Brother Branham only took us 2/3 of the journey because that was the dream that he had. So if he only went, yeah, place the dream properly, you false prophet. About 2/3 of the journey was 1961. The other third of the journey unfolded in the opening of the seals. There ain't no third left. There ain't no quarter left. All the mysteries of God has been revealed. Amen. Oh, don't you free friend. What Satan's trying to do? He's trying to get it because we have a one man leadership mindset. Then Satan will try to make it be what? This pastor here, this great preacher over here, this great man over there. And if you don't hear him, you're going to hell. True sign of a false prophet. Oh my. Well, hallelujah. He goes on to say on the last stage, and there will be many false prophets appearing. And watch and see how they keep telling you that if you don't believe them and what they say, you will be lost. Now, I don't care whether a man claims to be a dreamer, a preacher, a singer, a fiddler, a harmonica blower, an organ player. I don't care what he claims to be. When they go to try to hold in this fear tactic over you, you know right there, one of the first signs of a false prophet. Bless God, brother, you better do so-and-so. You better be careful. Somebody turned me down one time and broke their leg. What's that got to do with you? I'll tell you one thing, a tree fell on their house. Ain't got nothing to do with you because they didn't cut down a dead tree. People that think that mentality need the Holy Ghost. What in the world would cause anybody to want trees and judgment and whatever more to fall upon the people of God? There's something wrong with you, friend. You mean you want the people of God to be punished? You want the people of God to have be lightning struck and all kinds of things happen to them? You need to be saved.
Well, praise the Lord.
Isn't it amazing that he places all this fear thing in the last stage, Brother Darrell? So in this last age, it will be multiplied so greatly that the false teachers and the false prophets,
Let us go on a little farther. Even those that are leaving the message, trying to blast the message, blast the prophet. It's amazing how much mercy they have for everybody except us. They want to tear us limb from limb because our women wear dresses. Why don't they do the Amish the same way on their website? Why don't they attack the apostolic people for wearing dresses? Come on. Why don't they do the Mennonites and do the Dunkards and do this and that and the other? Come on, children. Why? Because Satan knows where the real light is. I'm not saying there's not some good people in the Mennonites, but the Mennonite message is not the one for this hour. Praise be to God. The Mennonite message will not produce rapturing faith. You can get on old Bessie and freeze to death in your buggy all you want to. It ain't going to produce no rapturing faith for a body change. Well, hallelujah. Amen. But what does Satan do? Where is he attacking? Not only attacking the prophet of God, but attacking the followers of the message. You ought to be shouting about right now, because that lets you know the devil considers you a threat to his kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, they got so much mercy and so much grace and so much love and so much tolerance for everybody except us. And we're the ones going to hell, and we're the ones doing this and that and the other. Everybody else out here is all right except for us. Isn't it amazing how Satan warps their perspective and view of that? And then they try to fear. You better get away from that, William Branham. You better get away from this and that and the others. I said, Sunday, if you've got something better than this, then come and talk to me about it. You've got something that'll produce more than what this produced. As I said to you the other day, when Brother Wayne Lawson's sister just went through the message and it found over 8,300 and something visions that was seen on the platform by the prophet of God. And that was with people sitting there and witnesses. Is that so? Is that true? Over 8,300 of those visions, and not a one of them refuted by the people who were sitting there. So when you have three, talk to me. And then we'll go from there on your way to 8,300. Praise the Lord. You want me to leave this? What have you got better? You want me to turn my back on this? What have you got that'll produce a godly life and a child of a God instead of a Laodicean? Notice this. He says, don't believe them. If you don't believe them and what they say, you'll be lost. But when that last day prophet, notice it's not plural. When that last day prophet comes on the scene, if he's truly that prophet, he will be crying out, get back to the word or you're lost. Somebody remind me, what was it that Brother Branham built for us? Was it a seminary? Is there a bridge named after Brother Branham crossing from, say, Jeffersonville over to Louisville? Is there some college? What name did he build? What was it that he left for us? What kind of thing was it that he built? I mean, if Brother Branham was this man, you know, who was trying to deceive us and all this, what was it that he built? What kind of kingdom was it that he left for us? Where's his castle? Where's his palace? What was it that he built in order to lead us away from God? Come on, answer me now. What did he build? There's no William Branham Association as far as a college and a great big place where we give people degrees of this and that and the other. There's no William Branham University like there's an Oral Roberts University. Come on, saints. So what did he leave? He did not desire to leave us a university. He did not desire to have a bridge built after his name. He desired to lead people to Jesus Christ with a new birth by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, where saints of God could walk in harmony with God. Hallelujah! Do a little research sometime on the television preachers and see how much they take in a year. Check out their Bentleys. Check out their Learjets. Check out all the things that they own. And then compare them to this one. Hallelujah. Even when they was going to call him Jesus Christ, he said, I'll leave the field. And he said, you'll be responsible for me doing it. He didn't even want to even be classified as such a thing. Amen. What's cool? What great something did he leave us? He left us the greatest thing he could. The message of the hour. Praise God. Notice this, that true prophet, he'll be crying out, get back to the word or you're lost. He won't build on a private revelation or interpretation, but on the word. Amen and amen. These false apostles are the grievous wolves that Paul spoke of. He said, once I'm gone, then they will try to come and claim equal revelation. Notice now, the very sign of a false prophet, claiming equal revelation with the prophet messenger. Well, hallelujah. Let me be honest and frank and plain. God will never send another Gentile with one tiniest of a hundredth of a percent of the revelation that God gave the seventh angel messenger. It's not our position. It's not our place. We're to take what he said and what the Bible said and preach the truth to the people. It's not our position to compete with him. It's not our place to claim, oh, I don't need the books no more. We've outgrown the books and tapes. That's easy to see by a lot of them, by what they're preaching. Oh, my. Once I'm gone, they will try to come and claim equal revelation, but their purpose is not to help you, but destroy you. Oh, my. Notice this. John knew of them. Also, for he said, many false prophets are already gone out into the world. That Antichrist spirit was already infiltrating the church. See, now he learned the move of God. Pastors, teachers, apostles, evangelists, prophets. So the best way is to come in among them and say, Paul said, hallelujah. Paul said, James said, Peter said. And the saints said, that's right, brother. Glory to God. Where are you from? Oh, I'm from over there. Oh, well, we haven't seen you before. Oh, yeah, praise God. I'm one of you. Hallelujah. I'm one of you. Oh, I love this message with all my heart. Oh, I thank God. Oh, I thank God. And they get among them just long enough to go to sowing discord. Notice this. It was doing it by going against the word. Why? Here it is where it's all started. Right here in the first church age. Already they were denying the word and setting up their own creeds and philosophies instead of the word. That is Antichrist. For Jesus is the word. Friends, listen how serious this is. To be anti-word is to be anti-Jesus. To be anti-word is to be anti-Christ. Because the Spirit and the Word are one. And if you are anti-Word, you will have to be anti-Christ. So here they come. Say, oh, Paul was a good man. Sure, Paul was a good man. But you know, Paul was a human. And Paul made mistakes. Now, I heard it myself. I heard it personally myself from a brother by the name of Demas. Now, he was a godly man. Godly man. And he was around Paul for a long time. But he started noticing Paul kind of started getting off at the end. The last few years of Paul's life, he really started writing some strange things and doctrine about seed and election and predestination, really far out stuff. And Brother Demas, he couldn't take it no more. He told me himself, an angel appeared to him and said, Demas, are you going to follow me or are you going to follow this man? And Demas stood in my kitchen with tears running down his eyes, took me by the hand and shook my hand and said, brother, I had to take a stand for the word. No, Demas. You took a stand against it. And I'm going to be third in line. Remember what the preacher told Brother Branham about Demas? So when he gets there that day, he wants to walk right up to him and smack him right in the face. Said, why did you leave Paul? And Brother Bram said, he might stand up and be behind him. Well, I'm going to be behind that. And then Brother Bram come back and said, I'm not so sure I'd ask for that, because you might not want to wind up going where Demas is going to be. Now you imagine, something had to move Demas. He saw this man which could heal the sick and left his friend Trophimus back in the city sick. So poor, he only had one coat. And it seemed like he's getting farther and farther away. Less anointing in his crowds. It's getting where the only place he had left to preach was full gospel businessmen. The big denomination loved him for years and years, and then they finally got, they couldn't take it no more. You imagine Demas now said, there's something wrong with this guy. There's something wrong with him. What was it? Demas' intellectual face began to collapse. So here they come. Now, Paul's a good man. Well, of course. But this brother told me, this brother Demas, he told me he saw Paul sitting on the side of the bed one day, so tore up and crying, wasn't even sure if he was called to preach or not. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. My favorite pastor, my favorite preacher, boy, he knows he's called to preach. Whew. Ain't no shadow of a doubt in his mind. As a matter of fact, he about figures he's the only one that is called. Then more than likely, if that's his arrogant attitude, he probably ain't called. I'll tell you one thing. Paul got so far out, there wasn't nobody preaching what he was. Even Peter said, Paul is writing things that's hard to be understood. Remember that? I do remember that. Now you show me where Peter said we were foreordained the way Paul said it. Come to think of it, I don't think, did Peter ever quite say that? No. Now you read that Ephesians 1:3, how we were foreordained in God. And then 1 Timothy 1:9. Come on down. Now show me where James ever said that. James, a good, solid brother. Show me where James ever said that. Huh. Well, now that you mention, I don't guess they did they? Now, brother, this is just, of course, between me and you. I just love you with all my heart, and I'm just trying to help you. Run! Run! Now that you mention it, I don't believe Matthew or Mark or Luke or John, either one, said some of them things that Paul said. See there? That's what I'm telling you. Isn't it amazing that this one man here basically had the monopoly on the New Testament? Look how arrogant he was. Pushed Peter back. Rebuked Peter. Right in front of everybody. You think that's brotherly kindness? Proves the man was arrogant. Proves the man thought he was bigger than everybody. Bigger than the man who had the keys to the kingdom. Now, he's a good man. I'm not saying he's not a good man. I'm just leaving you something to think about. Which is what you get into when you get into some of these www.visithell.com. Pollute your mind with all these former message people nonsense.com. What in the world have you saying people got visiting such trash sites as that in the first place? If you had never heard about the Holy Ghost and somebody told you about the Holy Ghost, would you honestly go to a Church of Christ website to find out the full truth about the Holy Ghost? Are you a nut? Wouldn't you go to a website where they say they've got the Holy Ghost? What if you've got questions about the message? Why would you go to some of these blasphemous websites who don't believe it? Why don't you go to some of those who do believe it and find the answers? Whew. How in the world did I get on that? Watch this. In sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel, the word of the Lord came to the prophets. They have thus saith the Lord. And a true prophet will never vary from the other prophet's word. So God cannot send one prophet and then send another prophet and him stand up there acting like he's quoting what that other prophet said, but adding here and adding there for his own agenda. That's a true sign he don't have the word of the Lord. Well, you won't get quieter on me, I figure, but a true prophet will never vary from the other prophet's word. They'll never make it say something that it doesn't say. They'll say just exactly what the true prophet said. That makes them a prophet. Then if they come with dreams, sensations, emotions, feelings, whatever more, and it don't line up to what's already been said, as gently as I know how to say it, as sharp as I know how to make my sword, I'm going to cut your head off and say you are a liar. With as much love as I can say that with. Brother Donnie, why would you say such a thing? Because I don't want that devil getting on me and I don't want it getting on you. You baby around them demons and it'll get on somebody else. Well, praise the Lord. Notice this. You know, when Daniel was down in the land and Daniel began to read Jeremiah's books. Remember, Baruch had written it down. And he said, you're going to go down there for 70 years. But God had told Jeremiah, you've got a kinsman that's going to come over and want to sell you his property. And I want you to buy it. I want you to take the evidence and I want you to seal it in a jar. For thus saith the Lord, vineyards will be planted again. Property will be bought and sold. You imagine how they must have felt when the king, when they'd come back into Jerusalem and they'd rebuilt part of the wall and they'd lost most of the books of the Bible. And they was in there digging around in one of the walls. And one of them got in there, Brother Darrell, and found a hole in the wall. And they found a hollow sounding place. And they got it and dug that out. And here was the very books of Jeremiah that had been laying there for all of those years. The word of the Lord never fails. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the elect of God down in Babylon. What did they have to encourage them? They didn't have a religious radio station. They didn't have XM satellite radio. They didn't have 1100 tapes. But they had a promise of the word of God. I will plant you back in that land again. What did they have for consolation? They had the prophet's books. You laugh at us for reading if you want to. You laugh at us for projecting them up here on the screen if you want to. To us, it is our comfort. To us, it is prophecy of the end time. Amen. You imagine Daniel saying, children, the prophet Jeremiah said, the prophet Jeremiah said, what they did, Brother Dale, they preached the message of the hour. Jeremiah was dead and gone, but sure as God spoke it in heaven, the word of the Lord come to pass. What was they preaching? They're taking the prophet's quotes and reading it to the elect, and the elect are sitting there just like you're doing tonight saying, praise God. Amen. I may not see it, but my children may. We're going to go out of here. Hallelujah. We're going to go out of this place. Why? The prophet of God said so. Daniel could not have been a true prophet and sent him saying, you know what, it's been 65 years now, really it doesn't look like this is very likely that it's going to happen. So maybe there wasn't this many people that fell off the bridge after all. I mean, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, you know, I've been looking for all these scientific proofs. Well, while you're searching, why don't you see if you can find one where Abraham was here? Why don't you see if you can find some scientific proof of the ark? They had no scientific proof that Pontius Pilate ever lived. Through all the archaeological digs, all the places that they've dug until just a few years ago. And they found a clay tablet with his name on it. Well, Brother Don, that give you faith? I believed it without the tablet. One of these days, all these questions they got about the message. It'll be proven, but it'll done be too late by then. You see, the elect of God catch it when it's invisible. By the time it becomes proven fact, so-called, it's done too late. The door has been shut. Amen. Noah caught the message of God, built an ark when it was invisible. He had the revelation before he ever had one board planed. He had the revelation before he had one nail or one bucket of tar. But by the time the message become proven scientifically and visibly with their sight, the door was already shut and it was too late. Listen. Oh my. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. Notice this. They'll say just exactly what the true prophet said. That makes them a prophet. Then when they get that, when they foretell that, it is to come. Knowing this with fear in their heart, lest they should say something wrong. And it should lead somebody astray. You realize, Brother Branham says, when a man stands and says, thus saith the Lord, if God didn't say that, that man deserves to go to hell. It is a serious thing to say, thus saith the Lord. If you go out here tonight and say, Brother Donnie told me such and such and so, Brother Harvey comes to me and said, Brother Donnie, did you tell Brother so-and-so? I said, nope, sure didn't. Brother Jerry comes to me, Brother Donnie, so-and-so was standing out there the other night and said, you told him so? I said, never done it. I'm just a mortal man. So when people stand up, thus saith the Lord this, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. How much more times is it severe than it would be to lie on one another? If you say, thus saith the Lord, it better be God or you better shut up. Praise the Lord. That's why Brother Branham could stand and wait on that. Thus saith the Lord. Let people say what they want to. Beat their head against a wall. Let them do whatever. Show me one time where it missed. When you can create eyeballs, when you can raise the dead, when you can do so on and so on, come see me. Come see me. But until, I'm going to keep on setting the message. Oh my. He said, we never want to do that. We want to be absolutely sure that we got the word of the Lord before we say, thus saith the Lord. See, it must be an absolute direct message from the throne of God, or we should never say it. Praise God. Don't you appreciate the truth, friends? Amen. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell not prevail against it. He's tried to burn it. He's tried to feed it to the lions, and he did. He tried to destroy it. He tried to impersonate it. He tried to act like it, talk like it. Now he's got to where he's got many more of them than they are of us. Way many more. So many of them saying they're the way. This is the church. That's a cult. This is that. The other, stay away from them. And Satan is the king of all of it through a subtle instrument called the church. Oh, thank God for His grace. Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Heavenly Father, we bow our heads to the dust of the earth from whence these bodies were taken. In humility, Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for helping us to see the truth of the age. We know seeing it is not really enough. We must not only see it, but it must be a part of our life. And then we must be so baptized into the Holy Ghost that we don't leave it. For the Scripture tells us about the children of Israel which come out of the land of Egypt, that You saved them, and then You afterward destroyed them. So it's possible that people can be saved and then later destroyed. And we know, Lord, down through the ages, many, many people have been saved, as we would call it. But many of them will stand at the white throne, be sent into eternal separation. But those who are once sealed into the kingdom of God, they'll never be able to fall away from that. How grateful we are, Lord Jesus. May You help us tonight, Lord. If Paul was here in this age, John, Peter. In their day, they would have walked down the streets of Jerusalem, Thessalonica, Corinth, all the places that they would have went and visited. They wouldn't have seen a Baptist church on one side of the street and a Methodist on the other side, and a Church of Christ down the way, and a Presbyterian across the street from it. They would not have seen all of this called the church. To them, if they would have saw a church, it would have been such a strange thing because people were meeting in their homes. And then we know that a philosopher actually allowed Paul a spot to where he could be able to teach. But it wasn't really called a church. And then they started meeting in the catacombs and meeting in various places to be able to have a place so they could come, which was their own building, and meet three times a week or start a revival and be there for 3 weeks if they wanted. It would no doubt be overwhelming to them. But then after we'd leave church tonight and they'd drive down the road and they'd see all these churches, and they're all called church. Baptist church, Methodist church, Church of God, Church of Christ, Church of the Brethren, church this, church that. I wonder what Paul would say. I wonder what Peter would say. Because in their day, there wasn't any churches. But Satan found the key. Used the very same name that Jesus uses. Called his move by the same thing. Church. Except just add another name to it. Pentecostal church. Presbyterian church. Lutheran church. God help us that we don't do away with them names and add our own. Message church. Seven Thunder church. Perugia church. Tape church. If we're not careful, we're going to go in the same spirit that the ages have gone. Oh, we just took down them names and put up our own new names. Lord God, help us, I pray. Help me, Lord Jesus. Lord God, if you'd see somewhere down the road, Father, I would go into error and become arrogant or hard-headed, not be able to be corrected. Cut my life short. Take me out, Lord. Don't let me bring reproach upon you. Don't let me bring reproach upon this word. But Lord Jesus, I believe we can walk in a place in you. Whereas Peter said, if we do these things, ye will never fall. There's a great falling away, but Father, we believe there's a power on the earth that will keep the elect of God from falling in a falling away. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are part of the true church of the living God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are not in the William Branham denomination. We are not in the Two Soul denomination or whatever name that they'd like to call it. We are Christians filled with the Holy Ghost. We don't want a Reagan organization. We don't want a Reagan denomination. We want to be baptized into the body of Christ. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. Hey, sing something for us. Can we just worship him just a little bit before we go? I'm going to let you go. I know your kids got school and you got to work tomorrow and all that. But let's just worship him just a bit before we go. Think about it, children. Were it not for the grace of God on this Wednesday night, you could be sitting in a Methodist church, a Baptist church, sitting there amening that pastor just like you've amened me. Sitting there nodding your heads. That's right. That's right. There's three gods. That's right. We baptize in titles. That's right. God don't care if you cut your hair and paint your face. That's right. That's right. But instead, you're sitting here. Oh, it's because I wanted to. No. It's because of God's grace. God's grace and mercy. He's called us to be in this church. I'm sorry, I'm talking about Happy Valley. I'm talking about the mystical body of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
As I look out across the land,
Lord Jesus,
I see God's mighty hand.
Praise God.
A bride of Christ adorned in a wedding gown.
A wedding gown.
Just like in the days of old.
Oh, yes, Lord.
They stood in courage bold.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they turned that old world upside down.
Amen.
And we're rising up. Rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. Tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles.
Hallelujah.
Demon spirits were cast out. In the jail they sing and shout.
Thank you, Jesus.
While surrounded by God's holy angel band.
Thank you, Jesus.
But if you think it's all long gone,
Amen.
And all the miracles are done, I have some good news to bring to you. In these last days, you'll pour of His Spirit more and more. Like a mighty eagle, your strength will renew. Rising up.
Amen. Daryl, come dismiss us. God bless you, saints. See you this weekend, Lord willing. Shabbat.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to be a part of that church? Blood washed, blood bought, foreordained of God. The very thoughts of God expressed in this day. What a privilege it is, friends. Amen. I'm glad I didn't have to pay for it because I ain't got no money. I'm glad I didn't have to pass a test for it because I'm dumber than dirt. I'm just so glad it's by His grace. Aren't you glad it's by... Hallelujah, it's by His grace. His amazing grace. Amen. Praise the Lord. Whew, I feel like having church. Hey, let's just bow our heads. Oh, Lord. Our hearts just rejoice. We are so grateful, dear Lord, to know that we've been liberated by the truth. Lord, there's so much snares in the world today. So much fake news, Lord. CNN says Fox is fake and Fox says CNN is, but oh God, we're so glad, Lord, for the good news. The truth, Lord. Well, you said you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. We're free from the shackles of organization and man's thinking, Lord. Oh, God. How we thank you for the word, Lord God. Lord, may we refuse to let any man try to chain us back up, Lord. May we take the slave belt off of us, God. We're free. We thank you for it tonight, Lord. Thank you for the word of God that stirs our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, go with your people now, Father. And those that travel, Lord, to be here, just Give them traveling grace back to their homes, Lord. And may we think about the things that we've heard tonight, Lord. And may we take a moment just to thank you for it, dear God. And thank you for Brother Donnie, Lord, and for his burden to bring the truth. Restore his strength, Lord. And thank you for all the visitors that's in our gates tonight. Bless them richly. And Lord, we just love you. We just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, for all that you've done for us, Lord. For all that you've given us, Lord. For sending Elijah, Lord God, to tell us the truth. Oh, Father, I heard your prophet say one time, God loves you because he sent me to tell you the truth. Lord, we thank you for that tonight, Lord. Go with your people now, we pray. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says,
amen.
Oh, you can do better than that. The bride says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Play it again, Harry.
Rising up, there's a New Testament church rising up, rising up, rising up, there's a New Testament church rising up. As I look out across the land, I see God's mighty hand, the bride of Christ adorned in her wedding gown. Just like in the days of old, they stood in courage bold, they turned that old world upside down. Rising up, church rising up, rising up, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up, rising up. Now the Bible plainly tells how the Holy Ghost fell. Signs and wonders were done by the apostles' hands. Demon spirits were cast out. In the jail they sing and shout while surrounded by God's holy angel band. But if you think it's all long gone, all the miracles you've done, I have some good news to bring to you. In this last days he'll pour of his Spirit more and more, like a mighty eagle your strength he'll renew. Rising up, church rising up, rising up, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up. We're rising up, rising up. There's a New Testament church rising up.